Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldar and the Zechus Shavuos Daf Mem, the sixth parak Shavuos HaDayanim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Shmuel says that the Mishnah only requires a claim of two silver maos for the Shavua of Modeh B'Miksas, partial admission. Of Altanis Malva V'Hodas Eidachod, but regarding a lender's claim which the borrower completely denied and a single witness's testimony confirms alone, the Nifa must swear even for a claim as little as a pruta. The reason is that the pasuk says, "Lo yakum eidachod beish," a single witness shall not stand against any man, a kol avon l'kol chatas, for any punishment or any penalty. This implies a kol avon l'kol chatas hu de'eino kam, for any punishment or any penalty he cannot stand to testify, v'kam hu l'shvua, but he can stand to testify to require a shvua. A braisa defines the parameters of this rule. Wherever two witnesses would obligate the defendant to pay money, one witness obligates him to make a shvua to deny the testimony. Since two witnesses can obligate a payment as little as a pruta, a single witness obligates swearing about the same amount. Point number two, the Mishnah taught that a nitpa does not swear if he makes a partial admission of a different item from the one claimed. For example, if the toveya demanded a payment of wheat and the nitpa admitted to owing him some barley, Rabban Gamliel disagreed. Shmuel said, Tano chitin v'so'orin, if he claimed against him wheat and barley, v'hodu lo ba'echmehen, and the nitpa admitted to him one of them, he is obligated to swear. Amoraim disagreed about Rabbi Yochanan's opinion on this matter. A braisa teaches that if one claimed an ox and the nitpa admitted owing him a sheep, or the reverse, he does not swear. Yet, if the toveya demanded both and the nitpa admitted to one, he is obligated to swear, apparently proving Shmuel's opinion. Rabbi Chiya, who said Rabbi Yochanan disagreed with Shmuel, answered that Rabbi Yochanan explained this braisa as following the opinion of Admon, who requires an admission to be the same type as the claim, yet holds that if one claims two different items and the nitpa admits to one of them, he must swear. And point number three, the Mishnah taught that one who completely denies a claim is not obligated to swear. Rav Nachman says, Umashmin oso shvuz heses, but they do have him swear a heses oath rabbinically placed on him. He explains, Chazak einad toveya in kenyesho olav. There is a presumption that a person does not demand payment unless he actually has a legitimate claim against him, so the nitpa should swear to contradict him. The Gemara objects that, on the contrary, Chazak einad meis panav bifnei balchovo. There is a presumption that a person is not so brazen as to falsely deny his debt in his creditor's presence. His denial indicates he's telling the truth and he should not have to swear. The Gemara answers, Ishtemutuhu dekmishtamikle. It is possible he's trying to temporarily evade his balchov until he has the money to repay him, and this is not a brazen denial. This is supported by Rav Chissa's ruling that a kofer b'milva kasho la'edus, one who falsely denies a loan, is still qualified for testimony because he's stalling for time and not considered a thief, whereas one who falsely denied holding a pikadon is disqualified for edus. In another version, Rav Nachman only required a shuas heses, where one first admitted to a debt and later claimed he repaid it because there is drora de mamona, a substantiated monetary claim. So once again, the three points are, number one, Shmuel says that the Mishnah only requires a claim of two silver maos for the shvua of Modeh B'Miksas, a partial admission, of Altanis Malva V'Hodas Eidachod, but regarding a lender's claim which the borrower completely denied and a single witness's testimony confirms alone, the nitpa must swear even for a claim as little as a pruta. The reason is that the pasuk says, "Lo yakum eidachod beish," a single witness shall not stand against any man, a kol avon l'kol chatas, for any punishment or any penalty. This implies a kol avon l'kol chatas hu de'eino kam, for any punishment or any penalty he cannot stand to testify, v'kam hu l'shvua, but he can stand to testify to require a shvua. A braisa defines the parameters of this rule. Wherever two witnesses would obligate the defendant to pay money, one witness obligates him to make a shvua to deny the testimony. Since two witnesses can obligate a payment as little as a pruta, a single witness obligates swearing about the same amount. Point number two, the Mishnah taught that a nitpa does not swear if he makes a partial admission of a different item from the one claimed. For example, if the toveya demanded a payment of wheat and the nitpa admitted to owing him some barley, Rabban Gamliel disagreed. Shmuel said, Tano chitin v'so'orin, if he claimed against him wheat and barley, v'hodu lo ba'echmehen, and the nitpa admitted to him one of them, he is obligated to swear. Amoraim disagreed about Rabbi Yochanan's opinion on this matter. Abraisa teaches that if one claimed an ox and the nipa admitted owing him a sheep, or the reverse, he does not swear. Yet, if the toveah demanded both and the nipa admitted to one, he is obligated to swear, apparently proving Shmuel's opinion. Rabbi Chiya, who said Rabbi Yochanan disagreed with Shmuel, answered that Rabbi Yochanan explained this braisa as following the opinion of Admon, who requires an admission to be the same type as the claim, yet holds that if one claims two different items and the nitpa admits to one of them, he must swear. And point number three, the Mishnah taught that one who completely denies a claim is not obligated to swear. Rav Nachman says, Umashmin oso shvus heses, but they do have him swear a heses oath rabbinically placed on him. He explains, Chazaka ein adin toveya in ken yesho alav. There's a presumption that a person does not demand payment unless he actually has a legitimate claim against him, so the nitpa should swear to contradict him. The Gemara objects that on the contrary, Chazaka ein adin meiz pana bifnei balchovo. There's a presumption that a person is not so brazen as to falsely deny his debt in his creditor's presence. His denial indicates he's telling the truth and he should not have to swear. The Gemara answers, Ishtemutuhu dekmishtamikle. It is possible he's trying to temporarily evade his balchov until he has the money to repay him, and this is not a brazen denial. This is supported by Rav Chissa's ruling that a kofer b'milva kasho ha'edus, one who falsely denies a loan, is still qualified for testimony because he's stalling for time and not considered a thief, whereas one who falsely denied holding a pikadon is disqualified for edus. In another version, Rav Nachman only required a shuas heses, where one first admitted to a debt and later claimed he repaid it because there is drora de mamona, a substantiated monetary claim. All right, so now we get our siman daf mem, and our standard siman relates to mayim, water, and we use a pool for the siman, a pool. So here goes. At the pool, the lifeguard who made a boy swear that he didn't borrow a toy boat worth a pruta based on the testimony of one witness, while a boy splashing the water who admitted to owing his friend a beach ball but denied borrowing his goggles also had to swear, told the kid on the diving board to take a shuas heses after denying the claim he popped his friend's inflatable raft. Once again, it's a motion. At the pool, that must be more on daf mem, mayim. At the pool, the lifeguard who made a boy swear that he didn't borrow a toy boat worth a pruta based on the testimony of one witness, which reminds us, a braisa defines the parameters of a rule. Komakum sheshnai mechayvin osu mamon. Wherever two witnesses would obligate the defendant to pay money, eid echod mechayvo shvua, one witness obligates him to make a shvua to deny the testimony. Since two witnesses can obligate a payment as little as a pruta, a single witness obligates swearing about the same amount. So at the pool, the lifeguard who made a boy swear that he didn't borrow a toy boat worth a pruta based on the testimony of one witness, while a boy splashing in the water who admitted to owing his friend a beach ball but denied borrowing his goggles also had to swear, which reminds us the Mishnah taught that a nitpa does not swear if he makes a partial admission of a different item from the one claimed. For example, if the toveah demanded a payment of wheat and the nitpa admitted to owing him some barley, Rav Gamliel disagreed. Shmuel said, Tano chitim saorin, if he claimed against him wheat and barley, and the nitba admitted to him one of them, he is obligated to swear. So at the pool, the lifeguard who made a boy swear that he didn't borrow a toy boat worth a pruta based on the testimony of one witness, while a boy splashing in the water who admitted to owing his friend a beach ball but denied borrowing his goggles also had to swear, told the kid on the diving board to take a shvuas heses after denying the claim he popped his friend's inflatable raft, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that one who completely denies a claim is not obligated to swear. Rav Nachman says, Umashmin oso shvuas heses, but they do have him swear a heses oath. He explains, Chazaka ein adin toveah elim ken yesh lo alav. There's a presumption that a person does not demand payment unless he actually has a legitimate claim against him, so the nitpa should swear to contradict him. The Gemara objects that on the contrary, Chazaka ein adin meiz pana bifnei balchovo. There's a presumption that a person is not so brazen as to falsely deny his debt in his creditor's presence. His denial indicates he's telling the truth and he should not have to swear. The Gemara answers, Ishtemutuhu dekemishtamitle. It is possible he's trying to temporarily evade his balchov until he has the money to repay him, and this is not a brazen denial. So once again, at the pool, the lifeguard who made a boy swear that he didn't borrow a toy boat worth a pruta based on the testimony of one witness, while a boy splashing in the water who admitted to owing his friend a beach ball but denied borrowing his goggles also had to swear, told the kid on the diving board to take a shvuas heses after denying the claim he popped his friend's inflatable raft. All right, so now it's time for our four blabach hazara. Daf Lamed Vav, so the simmer Daf Lamed Vav is a lulav. So here goes. The man who cursed himself with one of the names of Hashem, after he realized he held the lulav, that must be more on Daf Lamed Vav, lulav. The man who cursed himself with one of the names of Hashem after he realized he held the lulav upside down, which reminds us the Mishnah taught that one who curses himself or another is liable for using any name of Hashem, and the Gemara says this ruling is unanimous. Cursing oneself is prohibited by the pasuk Raki Shamerocha Ushmur Navshecha Ma'od, only beware for yourself and greatly beware for your soul, warning not to harm oneself, and the terms Hishamer Pen Va'al connote Alosase. So the man who cursed himself with one of the names of Hashem, after he realized he held the lulav upside down, and then said to two witnesses, "May Hashem not strike you if you testify for me that I was sold a defective lulav," which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if one told Adim, "Al Yakacha, may Hashem not strike you if you do testify for me," or "Yibarechucha, he should bless you if you testify," Rav Meir says they are chayim because a curse for not testifying is implied, but the Chachamim disagree. The Gemara will come to distinguish between inferring for an Isser case versus inferring in a Mammon case. So the man who cursed himself with one of the names of Hashem, after he realized he held the lulav upside down, and then said to two witnesses, "May Hashem not strike you if you testify for me that I was sold a defective lulav," was outraged when the person he deposited his lulav case with took a shvuas bikadon and denied it was in his possession, which reminds us, the fifth parak details the laws of Shuas Pikadon, the oath of deposit, where someone denies possessing someone else's Pikadon, or loan, with a specific consequence of a carbon asham, and paying an additional fifth. This applies to all people, including those disqualified from Eidus. Rameer says one is only liable for a shvuah outside of Basin if he himself swore. If someone else was Mashbiah him, he's only liable in Basin. The Chamim hold that one is always liable even outside of Basin. Daf Lamed Zayin, so the Simmer Daf Lamed Zayin is laser tag. So here goes. When the boy lied when swearing about not having the other team's laser tag guns, laser tag, that must be on Daf Lamed Zayin. When the boy lied when swearing about not having the other team's laser tag guns deposited by him after being warned by aiding him, making him chayev to bring a carbon, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses if Shuas Bikadon with Hasra is liable to a carbon, Malkus, or both. So when the boy lied on swearing about not having the other team's laser tag guns deposited by him after being warned by Adim, making him chayev to bring a carbon, his teammate shot back and said that since there are Adim, he is patur, which reminds us, Rabbi held that Shuas Pikadon where Adim were present is exempt from a carbon. So when the boy lied when swearing about not having the other team's laser tag guns deposited by him after being warned by Adim, making him chayev to bring a carbon, his teammate shot back and said that since there are Adim, he is patur. Just like the kids who denied knowing who owned the laser tag arena and got off because it was about Karka, which reminds Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar argue about Adim who denied knowing testimony about the ownership of land. Rabbi Yochanan holds their patur like he holds that a Shuas Pikadon about Shibud Karkos is patur. Daf Lamed Ches. So the simmer Daf Lamed Ches is a davar lach, a liquid, and we use chicken soup for the simmer. So here goes. When the man cooking chicken soup, that must be on Daf Lamed Ches, a davar lach. When the man cooking chicken soup swore to those claiming rights to the soup that he has nothing, lo acha, b'lo acha, b'lo acha, which reminds us, the Gemara brings some machlokes about swearing against multiple claims, such as lo acha, b'lo acha, b'lo acha. So when the man cooking chicken soup swore to those claiming rights to the soup that he has nothing, lo acha, b'lo acha, b'lo acha, and his partner made a shvuah that the kenedlach he made from a pruta worth of wheat spelt in barley were his own, and not the claimant's, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if one demanded the wheat and barley and spelt that what another had in his possession, and the defendant swore, "She'en l'cha b'yadi klum," that you have nothing in my possession, there's only a single carbon. If he swore, "She'en l'cha b'yadi chitin usa'orin v'kusmin," that you do not have wheat and not barley and not spelt in my possession, they obligate separate karbanas. Rav Yochanan says, "Prut makulam it's the refus. A pruta's worth of value can be combined from all the grains for the minimum shear to obligate a carbon." So when the man cooking chicken soup swore to those claiming rights of the soup that he has nothing, lo acha, b'lo acha, b'lo acha, and his partner made a shvuah that the kenedlach he made from a pruta worth of wheat spelt in barley were his own and not the claimant's, they together sent a thermos of soup to basin for the fellow making a shvuah as a dayanim when he was moda b'miksas, which reminds us, the sixth parak primarily discusses the shvuah of moda b'miksas, one who admits the part of a claim. It begins, shvuah sadayonim, the oath of judges for moda b'miksas, is only imposed when hatanish tekesev hoda b'sheva pruta, the claim is for at least two silver maz, and the admission for is at least a pruta. Furthermore, im ena hoda mimin hataina pater, if the admission is not about the same item as the claim, he is pater from swearing. Daf Lamed Tes, so the simon for Daf Lamed Tes is a letter, and we often use a mailman in the simon. So here goes. The mailman who experienced the ground shaking when he delivered the letter. Mailman, a letter? That must be Moron Duff. Lamites. The mailman who experienced the ground shaking when he delivered the letter stating, Osisa Shema Shemel Kelcho Ashab, which reminds us that Brisa teaches that Basin warns the defendant about the severity of swearing falsely. They say, you must know that the entire world trembled when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said at Har Sinai, Osisa Shema Shemel Kelcho Ashab, you shall not take the name of Hashem your God in vain. The Gemara continues with detailing how the punishment for swearing falsely is more severe than all of their averos. So the mailman who experienced the ground shaking when he delivered the letter stating, Osisa Shema Shemel Kelcho Ashav, was taken aback when he claimed the homeowner owed him 2 silver maos for the stamps he bought, and the homeowner responded he only owed him a pruta, which reminds us the more brings Malchokas if kfira of Shtei Kesef is required for Moda B'mixas. So the mailman who experienced the ground shaking when he delivered the letter stating, Osisa Shema Shem El Kecho Ashav, was taken aback when he claimed the homeowner owed him 2 silver maos for the stamps he bought, and the homeowner responded he only owed him a pruta, and was relieved when the rabbi next door told the man he was chayv a moda b'mixas shvua, since kesef is compared to kelim. In the pasuk, which reminds us, Rava said that pasuk can read more precisely according to Shmuel, who does not require a denial of more than a pruta. The pasuk says, "Ki yiten ish al reyu kesef o kelim lishmor." When a man gives his fellow silver or utensils to watch, teaching to compare the two items, ma kelim shnaim of kesef shnaim. Just as kelim, being plural, are at least 2, so 2 silver means a minimum of 2 silver coins. Also, ma kesef davar chashuv, and just as silver is significant, meaning it's valuable, of kol davar chashuv, so too all other items claimed besides kelim must be significant and have a value of 2 silver maos. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff do in the Shmuz Eidus is only liable where the Tobeya himself demands testimony? We discuss someone coming with our Shah. That's on Daf. Lamed Gimel.
Good.
Number 2. Which stuff do we learn about a Shmuz Hesses? That's on Daf.
Mem.
Good.
Number 3.
Which stuff do we discuss if Shmuz to be cut in with Hasra is liable to a carbon, malchus, or both?
Daf Lamed Zayin.
Good.
Number 4.
Which stuff even the Shmuel said, if one claimed against another wheat and barley, and the nitbat admitted to him one of them, he is obligated to swear. That's on Daf.
Mem.
Good.
Number 5.
Which stuff even that if one is mashpia aiding b'shamayim v'ba'aretz, by heaven and earth, they are butter. That's on Daf.
Lamed Hey.
Good.
Number 6.
Which stuff do we have machukas if a kfira of shtei kesef is required for moda b'mixas? That's on Daf.
Lamites.
Good.
Number 7.
Which stuff do we discuss swearing about karka regarding shvuas bikadon or shvuas eidos? That's on Daf.
Lamed Zayin.
Good.
Number 8.
Which stuff do we learn a shvua obligated by an eid echad only requires a claim of a pruta? That's on Daf.
Mem.
Good.
Number 9.
Which daf do we discuss makal rav atashomaya hain for an iser versus for mamon? That's on daf.
Lamed vav.
Good. Number 10. Which daf do we have the long mishnah which details the laws of shuas pikadon? That's on daf.
Lamed vav.
Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru wishing you a great day and great learning.